I'd like to share with you this morning a devotion by Egbert Schaller. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. These words remind us that every encounter with our Lord in his word is no accident, but a divine encounter. It's no accident when God's servants meet God's people, because that is precisely the way and the time that God has planned. An angel of the Lord came to a prominent army captain by the name of Cornelius. What God's angel wanted was this. He wanted to set up an appointment between Cornelius and the Apostle Peter, who was in the area at the time. He wanted to tell Cornelius things that Cornelius had been praying about for a long time. What Peter had to say to Cornelius would be a source of comfort and joy and strength. What God wanted Cornelius to know was that Jesus had come and died for his sins and completed his redemption. From the words of our text, there is little question about the fact that Cornelius was already a believer before this encounter with Peter. About which one of us would God say the description in our text? If anything, this holy record of Cornelius's life should make us blush a little bit about our failures. Cornelius, yes, was a godly man, but in one respect, we have a huge advantage over Cornelius. We already know about Jesus. We know all about his wonderful life and the tremendous things that he did for other people, and we are offered daily the power of his living and dying, the precious comfort of the forgiveness of our sins, the blessed privilege to pray in his name, the limitless strength in the assurance that he will carry all of our burdens and solve all our problems. Cornelius knew that a Savior was coming, and he trusted God's gracious promises with all his heart. He believed they were meant for him, but he did not have the slightest idea that the Savior had already come, that these promises were fulfilled. These were the things that Cornelius prayed about, and these are precisely the things God wanted to reveal to him through Peter. But the first point of our devotion is that God set up this appointment, and he set it up in answer to his prayer. The amazing thing is that God keeps his appointment through his ministers. Consider Cornelius. God's angel set the appointment up, but the actual appointment was with Peter. We don't doubt for a moment that God's holy angel could be a far more eloquent conveyor of the message than a mortal man and impress the truth on his heart. God's angel could have then and there told Cornelius all about his Savior, and the angel would have rejoiced to have had that opportunity. But God chose to make his will known through sinful men, through men like Peter and Luther and, yes, myself, and men like me, your other teachers and pastors who are called to proclaim God's word. When we speak to you God's word, it is not men that speak, but God that is speaking through us. And when you come to hear, it is no accident. It is God's answer to prayers by your grandparents, your parents, and you. But from our text, we would see also the other side of the picture. Not only did God prepare Cornelius to meet Peter, he also prepared Peter to meet Cornelius. If there is any thought that stands out with striking clarity in the text, it is this: that God has chosen to make his will known to men generally through men. We see how he used an angel to make the appointment, but he did not use the angel to proclaim the message. This seems strange at first, because the preacher with whom the appointment was made was the last man who seemed to want to keep the appointment. If ever there would seem to be a mistake, it would appear to be arranging an appointment between a Gentile army captain and Peter, who was still a little stuck in Judaism. He had learned from his childhood teachers that Jews just don't have anything to do with Gentiles. Most teachers of the Pharisees insisted that it was against the law to have anything more to do with a Gentile than a daily business transaction. And so if Peter were to have his way, this meeting with Cornelius would not have taken place. This isn't the first time in history that God had chosen a man for a calling that he did not seem able to fulfill. He chose Moses to lead 2 to 5 million people out of captivity, although Moses thought he was 40 years too old for the task. He chose a handful of soldiers to fight with Gideon with only pitchers and trumpets for weapons. He chose David to lead the people of Israel, though he seemed the least qualified of the sons of Jesse. He chose Jesus, lowly, meek, and humble, to be the Savior of all mankind. Peter did not seem qualified, and so God trained him, especially. At noon, Peter went up to the top of the house to pray. Apparently, he prayed by himself in the quiet of his rooftop every noon before he went to dinner. Only on this noon, while the meal was being prepared, he saw a great sheet let down from heaven in a vision. It was bound at the four corners, and in it were all kinds of four-footed beasts and wild beasts and creeping things and even birds. And when this sheet came near to Peter, a voice came and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." This was more than Peter could take, though he should have learned from his 3 years with Christ that there were no more clean or unclean, but that Christ had done away with Old Testament ceremonial legislation. Yet he could not get himself to eat pork. You know, it's one thing for us to learn something in our mind, quite another to convince our heart. Yet from his answer, it seems Peter's problem was a lot deeper than even this. It seems that Peter had not really learned from Christ. He still seems to have felt that it was wrong to eat common or unclean food. Listen, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." To which God replied, "What God has made clean, you shall not call unclean." This was repeated 2 times, and then the sheet was removed to heaven. The vision had made a deep impression, for after Peter awoke, he could not but wonder just what God was trying to tell him. God was preparing him for that interview with Cornelius, and what he had seen was to convince him that Cornelius could share equally in God's great plan of salvation. Sometimes when we consider this account, we wonder why God has chosen men of such weakness, misunderstandings, frailty to be his preachers. And yet the more we study our Bibles, the more we realize that it's precisely such men that God wants to show that the power does not lie in man's learning or strength, but in the Word of God. He convinced Peter to do the right thing by coming to him with his Word, so that when he finally kept the appointment, it was a divine encounter. And so your preachers and teachers encourage you and help you to carry your problems to the Lord, and even correct you when necessary by applying the Word of God to your heart and life. May our hearts ever remember this is a divine encounter. Hymn 482, stanzas 1 and 3.